Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Big profits for the world's largest miner. Plus, the FTC starts to get tough on Wall Street deal-making under Chairwoman Lina Khan.
She wants to look at the whole landscape of competition, including how many companies are in the market, whether enough innovation is occurring, what the impact is on labor.
And why local governments are trailing private employers in hiring. It's Tuesday, August 16th. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal. And here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The world's biggest miner, Australia's BHP Group, has reported a near tripling of its annual profit to just under $31 billion for the fiscal year through June. That result follows BHP's sale of its petroleum business, as well as a surge in coal prices as buyers worldwide scramble for supply. However, WSJ Markets reporter Chelsea Delaney says that BHP does face some longer-term headwinds.
Commodity prices have been falling lately, in part due to the growth slowdown in China, which is the largest buyer for many metals and minerals. But it's not just a question of China. Many developed economies are slowing right now as central banks raise interest rates to rein in inflation. For BHP or competitors like Glencore, inflation is making mining more expensive, and it's making it harder to get new projects off the ground.
The U.S. has approved nearly all tech exports to China, according to new Commerce Department data, even as the U.S. government has identified technological competition with China as a top national security threat. According to that data, officials required a license for less than 0.5% of the $125 billion in U.S. exports to China in 2020. And of those, the agency greenlit 94% of export applications. Critics say commerce officials are prioritizing U.S. commercial interests over national security, while the department says it's focused on long-term competition with China and makes export control decisions in coordination with other federal agencies. Primary voters in the U.S. state of Wyoming are widely expected to deal a defeat to Republican Representative Liz Cheney today. She is the last of 10 Republicans to face primary voters after voting to impeach former President Donald Trump. Cheney is also the co-chair of the special House committee that is investigating the January 6, 2020 attack on the U.S. Capitol. She faces an uphill battle today against attorney Harriet Hagerman, who has received Trump's endorsement. And in elections today in Alaska, former governor and vice presidential hopeful Sarah Palin is looking for a political comeback in a special election for the state's lone House seat. Palin has also been endorsed by Trump. And in Kenya, Vice President William Ruto has been declared the winner of the country's presidential election, besting longtime opposition leader Raila Odinga by a narrow margin after days of vote counting. Shortly before results were announced, Odinga's campaign alleged the vote had been corrupted, and Odinga supporters attacked the chairman of Kenya's election commission as he attempted to reveal the results. Odinga's campaign now has the option of appealing to Kenya's Supreme Court for a review of the results. U.S. employers have added jobs at a historically robust pace since emerging from the pandemic recession, with a notable exception, state and local governments. According to Labor Department data, state and local public employers, think schools, hospitals, libraries, and law enforcement agencies, still had more than 600,000 fewer people on their payrolls last month than they did in February 2020. Journal Economics reporter Brian Mina is here now with a look at the causes and the effects of this trend. Brian, thank you for being with us.
Pleasure to be here.
So, Brian, what is the story behind this fall in state and local government jobs?
So when COVID hit, we did see state and local governments see lots of job losses. but not the federal government. Part of that has to do with the hiring they did for the census. But we did see lots of job losses in state and local governments. We saw a lot of retirements. And of course, generally, when COVID happened, a lot of workers were afraid of catching COVID. They had childcare issues. So as a result, you saw lots of job losses in the public sector. But now, more than 2 years later, since the pandemic happened, you saw the private sector wage pay much more quickly than the government. And so as a result, you've seen hiring much slower in the public sector.
And so tell us a little bit more about the kind of jobs that are being lost here.
Right. So when we think of the public sector as a workforce, we think of teachers, police officers, hospitals, bus drivers. And so as a result, when you see job losses in the public sector, that may translate to buses taking longer to get to you. That may translate to teachers having a bigger class sizes. And so there really are consequences to the public sector not hiring as fast as it should, because these employees provide a lot of services that the government pays for, that the government provides. And so these do have very real consequences on society when governments can't hire like they should.
And so what can public sector employers really do here? You report they had more than 900,000 open positions as of June. That's just a ton to fill.
Yeah, so I spoke with the Assistant Director of Human Resources of the city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And he told me that at one point, the city had about 200 job openings, mostly in public safety, facility management, and park maintenance. And so one of the things that he told me that they did is that they started advertising aggressively these job openings in cities like New York City, Chicago. And so it's very important for employers to be competitive in hiring these workers. And so Fort Lauderdale did just that. It relaxed its hiring practices to lure in more candidates, to offer them more competitive wages. And as we know, we do see this pay disparity among the private sector and the public sector because, for example, wages and salaries rose 9.4% since June 2020 in the private sector. But for the state and local governments, we saw those wages advance by 4.9%. And so clearly you see the disparity in compensation, and that's sort of translating into slower hiring within the public sector.
That was Journal Economics reporter Brian Mina. Brian, thanks for the update.
Great. Thanks so much.
Coming up, Wall Street mergers are starting to face greater scrutiny and delays under Federal Trade Commission Chairwoman Lina Khan. We'll take a look at her regulatory approach and how businesses are reacting to it after the break.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Biden administration's antitrust enforcers are getting busy. Over the last fiscal year, the Federal Trade Commission issued 42 letters of investigation over mergers or similar transactions. That's almost double the number from a year earlier, as regulators take a harder look at Wall Street deals. Journal reporter Dave Michaels covers antitrust and financial enforcement for us out of Washington, D.C., and he joins us now with more. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
FTC Chairwoman Lina Khan was sworn in over a year ago now. Can we say that under her tenure, the agency's focus is changing? And has she articulated sort of what her enforcement philosophy is?
I think at this point, we can project out that FTC enforcement is going to be at least a little more aggressive than it has been in the past, and perhaps a lot more aggressive. The FTC is more active in terms of investigating mergers, and they also have several existing anti-monopoly lawsuits going that they are taking care of in the courts. So we're starting to get a sense of how the agency is going to proceed under a chairwoman who is very clearly more skeptical of mergers and consolidation and has said that she is going to take a really hard look at big technology companies. The FTC and the Justice Department are rewriting the merger guidelines. It would be a sign to the market of like, look, these are the kinds of cases that we could bring. And at the margin, they would be signaling, you know, if you do this kind of a deal, it might have been cool under the previous years, but not under our regime.
And the way she describes it is sort of that she's inheriting an agency here that is in need of a shakeup of its regulatory approach. Go into a little bit more detail about that. I know you've spoken to her and trying to sort of unpack her philosophy.
Well, she came into office and it was very clear to everyone who approved her for the role in the Senate that she has a different view of antitrust enforcement than her predecessors did. She does not put all the onus on just looking at whether prices are going up or prices are going down as the main indicator of whether a monopoly has occurred or whether a deal could be illegal. She takes a much broader view of what she thinks is legal competition. She wants to look at the whole landscape of competition, including how many companies are in the market, whether enough innovation is occurring, what the impact is on labor. She's willing to bring cases based on theories that are a little different than what her predecessors have brought.
As the chairwoman goes from putting these ideas into practice, I mean, are we seeing that bear out in some of the actions she has taken and that the agency has taken lately?
I think you're seeing it just recently in the lawsuit that the FTC filed to block Meta, which is the owner of Facebook, to block Meta's acquisition of a company called Within Unlimited, which makes a virtual reality fitness application. And when the FTC filed the lawsuit, they basically had three theories for why the deal is illegal. And at least two of them are unusual in the sense that the FTC does not allege those theories very often. They turn on the idea that Facebook should have entered this market on its own if it wanted to enter, and that would have been pro-competitive, but by acquiring an existing company, that was anti-competitive. So Meta disputes these theories, thinks it will prevail in the lawsuit, but it was also notable because it's a lawsuit against Meta, a major big tech social media company, which is really the kind of confrontation that FTC watchers were anticipating. That is, the FTC's use of its antitrust muscles to go after big tech. Amazon, which did two deals itself in the last several weeks, there is a pending deal that is under FTC investigation in which Microsoft would acquire Activision Blizzard, creator of, you know, a lot of video games. And traders in the market give that deal about a 60 to 65% chance of actually closing. And that is attributed to the fear that the FTC will step in and try to block that deal, which has both sort of horizontal and vertical aspects to it. But that deal is also another very interesting indicator to come, potentially, of the FTC's merger enforcement.
What do businesses make of this approach the FTC is taking?
Well, I think that it probably depends what kind of business you are, but I think big technology companies are worried about the FTC's approach under Lina Khan. I think business trade groups at large probably are skeptical. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce filed a lawsuit recently against the FTC, alleging that the FTC withheld some records that should have been released under the Federal Freedom of Information Act to the chamber. And the chamber, which is clearly a group that favors less regulation, seems to be targeting the FTC as the agency that it plans to scrutinize and perhaps litigate with the most during the Biden administration. So there are at least signs of a growing confrontation between the FTC and big business.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Dave Michaels, who covers antitrust and financial enforcement for us out of Washington, D.C. Dave, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
And finally, bike retailers are struggling to peddle their inventories. Like many retailers, bike shops struggled to meet booming demand during the pandemic due to supply chain issues. But WSJ reporter Alex Herring says many are now facing the exact opposite issue.
Now they've had kind of a turn of fortune where the product is finally arriving. Sometimes it was delayed even years. And they also upped ordering, just hoping they'd have some type of bikes going forward. But now that those products are all here and arriving, demand has just slid due to all the usual suspects. One, bikes are something where when you get one, they're supposed to last a while. So people got bikes during the pandemic. They don't need another. Two, inflation and concern over your dollar. People just don't feel comfortable or maybe are taking a bit of a pause on such a big purchase like a bike, which can go up to several thousand dollars.
And that's What's News for Tuesday morning. We will be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.